You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The National Party is drawing attention to declining pass rates for NCA students taking literacy and numeracy tests, with only 64% passing for reading skills, 56% in numeracy, and only 34% for writing tests. For our weekly catch-up, I discussed this issue with National Party MP Shane Retty, as well as the possibility of reform to alcohol laws that the government has recently signalled.
So there's several things here, and we need to remember that we used to lead the world, certainly in reading. We were well recognised as being world experts. And I think there's a number of things that we can't take out of the equation, the COVID effect, that COVID effect that has disrupted schooling, reduced the ability for teachers to be in front of the classroom in a format that teachers have understood. So definitely there's a COVID influence, but also some of the changing teaching styles that the government has been more enamoured of, some of the bigger shared space classrooms and some of the new ways to teach reading and writing may well have had an influence as well. Either way, what we do know is that we've fallen backwards in measures that we would make of how we're doing with reading, writing, and numeracy.
One issue that many have brought up is a decline in attendance rates, particularly post-COVID. Is there any way students could be encouraged to get back into the classroom?
Yeah, this is a real big deal. What we know is that there's 100,000 students who were chronically absent in Term 1 this year. And in Term 1 this year, half of the children did not attend regularly. So the magnitude of the truancy problem is quite substantive. What we need for that is a plan, which is a question you're asking. And that plan needs to have an aspirational target that teachers, schools, and students and families, by the way, are held accountable for. So absolutely, the truancy rates are a significant concern and may well be the single biggest factor that the education sector needs to address, because you can have all the policies you like at school, but if children don't turn up, it doesn't matter.
So, of course, as you've mentioned, COVID has had a big impact on this and, of course, on attendance as well. But how might the cost of living and pressures on the parents financially be affecting attendance in terms of, you know, cost of fuel or inability to have the time to watch your kids?
Yes, I'm thinking of other areas. I'm thinking of the coming towards the final year students, particularly around South Auckland, it was described, who had left their schooling because they needed to revenue generate for their families as a consequence of COVID and as a consequence of cost of living. And that's a very sad situation to be in, that your children have to leave their schooling before it's complete or before they could go as far as they possibly could, because they need to revenue generate for the family because of the cost of living. So absolutely no doubt that the cost of living is having a direct impact, not just on the ability to get your children to school and provide a school uniform and books and fees and the other things, but actually on straight decision-making as to whether some children go to school at all because of that need to provide for the family.
Which policy settings do you believe could be adjusted to alleviate some of these pressures? Of course, cost of living is an issue in of itself, but how can we target people to make sure that they're going back to school and taking all of the classes and that sort of thing?
That's a really good question. In fact, that leads itself nicely into that discussion around social investment, which is providing the right sources, right resources to the right people at the right time, and understanding those who are most vulnerable, most at risk of not being able to continue their education, and providing them targeted funding sits nicely with a social investment model, which we're looking to deploy across all domains, actually.
Moving on, the government has signalled the possibility of conducting alcohol law reform, possibly some kind of restriction on marketing. Does the National Party believe that there should be any kind of reform in this area?
So we understand that some of the alcohol outcomes that we're getting reflect that we do need to be looking at some forms of reform, and we're, of course, we've observed the policies that the government have moved towards in this past 48 hours. And certainly it would seem that local alcohol plans aren't working well. The key here is getting that balance between reducing that harm with possible in ways that doesn't punish everyone else. It is a fine balance. And certainly the appeals process, for example, for local councils could be improved within the existing legislation so that the process is streamlined rather than entirely removing the rights of appeal. So to summarise that down, yes, there is some alcohol reform that should continue to progress. I'm not completely convinced that what's been put on the table in this past 48 hours is the way to do that.
What do you believe needs to be done exactly to reduce the negative impacts on public health?
Well, there's a range of things. So this is a discussion that's wider than alcohol. This talks to smoking, this talks to exercise, this talks to diet, this talks to alcohol. All of those are significant public health issues, and they would all start with increased resources to for educational approaches, and then on top of that you would layer targeted approaches to those who are most vulnerable and most at risk.
Do you believe that the minimum age to purchase alcohol is something that should be looked at?
I need to see data as to why that would want to be reviewed. If the suggestion is that it's too accessible, then we need to understand why that is. And is it that there's just no compliance, or there's less compliance with the legislation that is totally suitable, but it's not just being well monitored and there's just no compliance with it? So I'd want to look at what the particular problem is that we're trying to solve, and then how we explain it with the current policy settings.
Do you believe that things such as marketing and sponsorships for alcohol companies could be a bit of a concern here? Do you think this is something that should be curbed?
Look, I think it's something that needs to be monitored with one of the current proposals, one of the recent proposals, that it be removed from all sports sponsorship. That didn't find favour across the House, because the question was that there would be potentially more harm done by removal of funding to those sporting bodies. And why just sports? There are other entities that also potentially sponsor with an alcohol association. So I think that would need to be looked at more widely.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.